Hi, this is Adam, and welcome to the African Pre-Seed Podcast. If you're a founder or investor keen on learning more about the African tech ecosystem, we've got you covered. In this episode, we will discuss the creation of meaningful impact within the African tech ecosystem through collaboration, partnerships, and targeted support driven by foundation and impact partners. They have always played a critical role in the ecosystem, with their work arguably influencing more traditional VC players to consider how their investments are improving the lives of those on the ground. For this reason, I am very excited and most pleased to welcome Dr. Nina Schmidt, spokesperson for the board and CEO of the International Siemens Foundation. Nina, welcome to the African Pre-Seed Podcast. How are you?
Thank you so much, Adam. And it's such a pleasure to be here and to be speaking to you.
No, thank you. I really appreciate you making the time to speak to us. I know trying to get this episode done has been tricky given your challenging schedule. So I really appreciate the time just to set it aside for us.
Thank you, Adam. Very much looking forward.
Okay, fantastic. So let's give some background just about your history, Nina. Prior to joining the International Siemens Foundation, you were the Director for International Planning and Development at Zeitstiftung Ebelin und Gerd Bucerius, CEO of the Bucerius Education GmbH at the Bucerius Law School, and President of the American Friends of Bucerius, the US Foundation, that represents Zeit Foundation and the Bucerius Law School. Speaking about the International Siemens Foundation itself, it promotes sustainable social development, which is dependent on access to basic services, high quality education, and an understanding of local culture. I think we're going to delve into that during our discussion. And so with that in mind, Nina, before we get into the meat of our discussion, we're going to play a quick game of Rate This. I'll share five topics with you. And the moment you hear them, we'd love to hear your gut rating of each one between 1 and 5, please, and 5. Is the highest level of praise. Are you ready?
Yes, this sounds like a lot of fun, Adam.
Good. I'm excited. I've done a bit of research here, so we'll see. We'll see what your answers are. Point one, design thinking.
5.
Okay, understandable. E-learning. This is a bit of a gimme, but e-learning.
Yes, that would also be a 5.
Okay, excellent. Coffee.
This would be a 10.5.
A 10.5. Okay. I agree with that sentiment, by the way. I have to have my cup in the morning. Now, I'm being a little bit controversial, perhaps, speed limits on the Autobahn.
Yeah, for me, that would also be a 4.
A 4. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a lobby for and against. We're going to get stuck into the weeds. But thank you for sharing that. And lastly, I guess the term that will be on everybody's lips this year and was last year, artificial intelligence.
More controversial, but in terms of importance, I also give it a 5.
I think that's undoubted. The major philosophical question probably is it a force for good? Only time will tell. We will find out.
What does it mean for us as a society or for us as societies, right? So, yes. Important.
Yeah, we could have a whole separate podcast on the topic of AI. I think we maybe should at some point just to put a flag at our producers. Okay, thank you so much just for sharing your can of thoughts, Nina. Rate this. We are now warmed up, so let me move into my first question. The International Siemens Foundation works in the areas of education, social entrepreneurship, and arts and culture. What are the reasons behind these choices from the foundation's point of view?
Yeah, as an internationally operative foundation, we have been working internationally right from the beginning. So as you know, we've been in existence for 15 years now. Mm. We were established by the company Siemens, but we are actually independent from the company. And right from the beginning, we basically made the decision that we want to work as an operational foundation, and we specifically want to work in international regions, specifically in Sub-Sahara, Latin America, and starting also in India now. We have 3 key topics. These are access to essential services, connected societies, climate, and sustainability. And what is very essential for everything that we are doing is that we actually work very closely with our partners and stakeholders in the specific regions, because we believe that they know best what creates the biggest impact for their work and the impact that they want to achieve in the communities. So that's why we work very closely with our stakeholders, with partners in the fields of education, social entrepreneurship, art, and culture. So it's very much on a collective learning and locally based structure, sustainable structures, and promoting that kind of exchange and co-creation that is so essential to our work. In Africa specifically, we support social enterprises because we believe that they are really at the core of making change for their local communities.
I was about to actually ask you about one of those. One of the ventures that the foundation has supported is EcoNexus Ventures, which provides cheaper and safer alternatives to dangerous cooking fuels for low-income households in Ghana. You have also partnered with the Akiten Appiah Menke University of Skills and Training and Entrepreneurial Development, and are one of the organizations that helped found Impact Hub Accra around a decade ago. Why is it important? I guess you've spoken about this a bit, but I'd love to hear more detail. Why is it important to partner with locally based organizations in addition to them providing local expertise? And in your view, why is innovation a powerful tool to drive positive change on the ground for the people that live in a specific area, market, or place?
Well, Adam, we strongly believe that the people working closely with the communities in the various countries where we actively are involved, like in Sub-Saharan Africa, in Latin America, in India, they actually know best what is needed. They know the communities, they know the local structures, they know what is needed actually to drive innovation, to drive change. And we believe that in this instance, social enterprises are such a powerful stakeholder group to really drive innovation and to really drive change. And why that is so important, we see because they are really the ones who come up with new initiative, with new technology that can be used also for the local purposes. So to just give you one example, we work in an international consortium called Smart Energy Solutions in Africa, the CESA project. And this is an initiative founded by the European Union as part of the Green Deal. And it's very much about providing access to finance, but also mentoring, consulting, and other structures that really enable social enterprises, local social enterprises, to drive their ideas, to drive their solutions to better support the communities. And of course, this is only possible if we also have a broad ecosystem in the various regions. And this ecosystem consists of many players. So these are other foundations. In some instances, these are also political stakeholders. But these are also organizations such as local impact hubs, for example, to help us build a strong ecosystem for the social entrepreneurs, for the social enterprises to drive their businesses and really reach the biggest impact possible for the communities.
Well, I guess we're talking about the many markets that the International Siemens Foundation works in. You have Ghana, we've already mentioned that, Kenya, Uganda, South Africa, Nigeria, Malawi, within Sub-Saharan Africa, and as you mentioned, Latin America and elsewhere. I'd be very interested to know, from a broad perspective in the work that you've conducted, what are some of the common barriers, and I say this quite carefully because each market is unique, faced by entrepreneurs irrespective of where they are based? And what are some of the ways these entrepreneurs get around these problems to innovate and move forward on the entrepreneurial journey? We take innovation for granted, but working on the ground, what are they doing that we don't see that really defines what innovation is within a local context and in a social entrepreneurship context?
Yes, Adam, I think one of the biggest obstacles, obviously, is still a lack of funding gaps, because we see a lot of funding available for the early stage, for the ideation. We also see quite a bit of funding also for later stage when it is concerning much broader funding opportunities. But the so-called missing middle really experiences a funding gap. And this is exactly where we come in. So we help support social enterprises that are not in the very early stage anymore, that are already generating revenues, but they are not sustainable in themselves from a funding perspective. And here is where we come in. We provide grants for these social enterprises in order to help them to develop into sustainable organizations that can later on also be sustainable from their own means. So this is definitely one aspect. So the funding gap. The second one is lack of supporting policies and skills shortages. So besides funding and providing access to finance from a philanthropic point of view, so providing grants to these social enterprises, We also provide skills, for example, very, very basic business skills when it comes to managing these social enterprises, when it comes to growing social enterprises, but also when it comes to talking about, for example, advocacy and supporting policies that allow social enterprises to receive more visibility, more recognition. So these are the kinds of areas where we are very much involved. And of course, we cannot do it on our own as a foundation. We work here very closely with partners. For example, also the German Ministry for Development, for International Development, the GIZ, but also other institutions that we work very closely with in order to support these locally based social enterprises.
And the innovation that you see on the ground, I mean, we're comparing apples and oranges when you speak about maybe tech-driven innovation in Europe or the United States and other markets where there's greater access to infrastructure. But the innovation that you see in markets, is it driven by local individuals finding local solutions for problems that really apply in their circumstance? For example, Econex Ventures. We would never consider that a problem for someone living, let's say, in a market where they have easy access to cooking oil. Honing in on the innovation, there's a very international understanding of innovation, and then there's a local understanding of innovation. From your view at the foundation, what do you see on the local side in terms of what innovation means to you and to your stakeholders on the ground?
We basically see both aspects with our social entrepreneurs, with our innovators. One aspect is really the local need. So basically identifying the specific needs for the local communities, whether it's in e-mobility, whether it's in safe water and hygiene, or whether it's in the energy transition sector. So it's very much locally rooted. And of course, it differs greatly whether the social entrepreneurs are working in countries such as Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, or whether they're working in countries in Latin America. But a lot of the ideas, a lot of the innovations that they are thinking about and that they are implementing are also deeply rooted in international perspectives. So, for example, we find it very exciting that some of our social entrepreneurs are trying out different solutions in countries such as Ghana or also in Nigeria, but also coming from the perspective of having worked in other regions in the world and comparing basically their results with results in other regions. For example, we have been working for a period of almost 10 years with a social enterprise focusing on e-mobility solutions in Ghana, specifically in Accra. The company used to be called Mana Mobility and is now called Wahoo. And what they basically do is they provide e-mobility solutions for delivery services. And we have been providing services, access to finance, mentoring and coaching for almost 10 years. And now they are actually on the ground of being very, very successful and growing incredibly, especially in Accra. This is the moment where we as a foundation actually are very happy with this kind of success. And our financial support is not necessarily needed anymore because they are growing so quickly, but it's an excellent example of how an organization uses international expertise and uses the access to international investors, but still very much is rooted in a local community and a local approach, and also serving basically the local communities and the necessary questions that needs to be raised there. So I think it's both, Adam. It's basically identifying the local need, but it's also bringing in international expertise, international perspectives. I think it's the combination of both.
Almost finding the optimal level of cross-pollination between different ideas. They may originate in different markets, but I think applied in a local context, they can make a significant Absolutely. Difference. I guess with the right stakeholder who's incentivized to make a difference in their local context, if I can put it that way. You've spoken a bit about skills development. Do you consider learning a skill that can be honed to be very, very important in a more general context and working with your social stakeholders? And what do you believe are the best ways to promote a learning mindset more broadly? You can't attain a skill if you can't learn. So a learning mindset that embraces the curiosity to learn more. I know this is an area very close to the foundation's heart. So I'd just love to have your opinion about that.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we strongly believe in lifelong learning, right? Because learning is a journey, just as life is a journey. So we can't expect specifically in times like we are experiencing right now, where everything is changing so fast when it comes to digitalization, when it comes to artificial intelligence, when it comes to new tools, new innovations. We can't expect to learn something in our life and then that's it for the rest of our life. So lifelong learning, a lifelong learning journey is absolutely essential. And that's specifically also one of the reasons why we as a foundation work very much with methodologies such as human-centered design thinking, for example, where we work with social entrepreneurs, but actually also with other target groups, developing ideas, developing educational concept, developing new skills for what is actually needed. And to give you one very concrete example, just last year in November, we hosted and organized a 3-day training program for 5 entrepreneurs from Uganda focusing on the electric mobility sector. And this was exactly the kind of program that used the human-centered design thinking approach and really trying to find out what supports them best, what are the kind of problem-solving skills that they need, what are some of the additional skills that they need along their learning journey. And it's in this instance, the example I gave, this is something for social entrepreneurs who are already working in the field. But we also believe that the design thinking approach can be used with many other stakeholders. Also, in fact, in the school setting or out of school setting with young people, with older people. So it's not something that is really limited to a certain group. It is more a general approach that we are all in this education learning journey together. And it's a lifelong process.
What journey stuck out for me? The foundation has been working in the continent and the other markets that you mentioned for quite some time. I just want a quick question about reporting and feedback. African founders, they always need to keep an eye on the business metrics and also the metrics outside of traditional business fundamentals for their market. From the foundation's approach, how important is monitoring and evaluation just to the process that you're engaged in when working with your stakeholders? And how do you ensure that the feedback loop that it generates is effective in ensuring that A, your resources that you have are being deployed effectively, and B, when changes need to be made to a program, that they're made in a thoughtful manner? Because feedback and reporting, I think within a founder context, as much as any other one, even take it from an impact point of view, is really important. So given an organization's experience as the foundation, I'd just love to hear a bit of insight just about that and your approach to this important aspect of your work.
Well, monitoring and evaluation, or we sometimes refer to as MEAL, so monitoring, evaluation, administration, and learning, right? Because we also need to include the insights from the evaluation in the learning process. So MEAL is absolutely essential to our work, but it is also extremely difficult to define processes of evaluation and learning for the entire foundation setup, because programs where we actually work, whether it's in education, whether it's in social entrepreneurship, art and culture, of course, deal with very different programs, with very different target groups in very different region. So there is no one size fits all approach, right?
100%.
And that's why we have different processes in place for the foundation that allow us to basically evaluate the programs on a regular basis, that allow us to basically do this in conjunction with our partners, right? Because we also have to get a better understanding of how do they evaluate the programs, what do they see on the ground. And in some instances, we have operational processes in place where we evaluate on a very regular basis, very much following also approaches such as seeing, for example, how many children or how many community members do we reach. So this is very much more from a quantitative perspective, right? But in other instances, we need to go much deeper. For example, with programs that have been running over a longer period of time, we also need to get a better understanding of, okay, on the first level, how many activities did we achieve? How many people did we reach? But what is basically the long-term impact, in a sense also the systemic change that they generated. For example, in areas such as the educational system or the health system. And for doing that, a much deeper approach is needed. Sometimes it takes a couple of months, basically, to do such an evaluation. We would do that also with partner organizations to really get a deeper understanding of what is actually going on and what have we achieved over a longer period of time. So it's a highly complex question. And Adam, I think it is especially complex coming from a foundation or not-for-profit perspective, because evaluation is also difficult if you're working in a for-profit entity. But working in a non-for-profit entity, working in a foundation, there are so many different aspects that play a crucial role when it comes to evaluating the effectiveness or evaluating the impact of a certain program or a certain initiative. So it's an ongoing discussion that we have within our teams at the foundation and with our ecosystem of partners working internationally.
Well, nothing stands still. You have to keep moving with the times. I think there's certain creatures in the world, if they stop moving forward, they perish. So I just thank you very much for sharing that. And a word that really intrigued me, maybe it's because it leans into my value about due diligence and compliance administration. I haven't really used that word, and not being a person too highly familiar with the impact sector itself. What does administration mean within the context you're referring to? I just haven't heard it defined that way before. So I just love to hear a bit more about it. I'm sure that I imagine there's maybe a couple of lessons that our founders who are listening might be able to take it from that, because I know it's really important, but what does it mean in your perspective and how does it play out in reality?
Well, it's absolutely essential for us as the foundation when we work with our partners, with our local partners internationally, that we have processes in place coming from an administrative perspective, coming from a compliance, also from a legal perspective, where we have a very thorough understanding about the programs, about the partners, and about the regions. So basically having processes in place where we also monitor our input, where we monitor our output, where we monitor changes, is absolutely crucial. And at this point, I would really like to say something about our dedicated team at the foundation, because of course, we have our program managers who are responsible for the content at the forefront of our activities. But we also have a very dedicated team working precisely on these issues of administration, finance, controlling, legal and compliance. And it's so essential for the kind of work that we are doing as a foundation. But it's also absolutely essential for our partner network, because they can rely on their work for the kind of services, for the kind of activities that are provided by these teams. So Adam, absolutely right. I mean, sometimes we don't see everything that is going on in the background, but it's such a crucial point of generating impact for our work and for the social entrepreneurs that we are supporting.
Often the end result creates a shroud of the hard work that actually happens in the background. As you said, because the end result's the one that generally catches the attention. So it's the unsung heroes, to use that term, who do the administrative work and data. We won't get into data, too much of a data discussion, because that's a whole wormhole on itself. But quickly move afoot. I know that we're busy running out of time, so I have two final questions for you. And just thanks so much, Nina. I really enjoy speaking to you. How can African founders go about identifying problems worth solving? The foundation, you come at it from a very specific perspective, but there's certainly a grain of truth for what African founders try to achieve in this same way, trying to solve a problem that matters. What questions should they be asking, and then who should they seek advice from when trying to identify these problems?
I think this, again, is a very good but also very tricky question, because when we speak about African innovators, we are talking about an entire continent, right?
Absolutely.
So it depends so much where these local social enterprises are actually working, what their focus groups are, what the ecosystems are. And I think what is most crucial, or what we actually hear is most crucial, coming from the perspective of the partners we are working with, coming from the perspective of the social entrepreneurs we are working with, is really having a thorough understanding of their local communities, of the local needs. Mm-hmm. And you were referring earlier on to an example of a young social entrepreneur who's working in Ghana and is working with safe cooking stoves, right? And this is very much a local perspective, but also very much a personal perspective in that she experienced early on how important it is for some of the communities, in fact, also for some of the very poor communities, to have safe cooking stoves that basically provide safety for the communities and for the families, but also are environmentally friendly. So that was a very strong motivation for her to basically start her business and get going. And it surely wasn't easy for her, but she succeeded in setting up her own social enterprise. So what is most important for the social entrepreneurs we are working with is basically seeing the need of innovation, seeing the need of local solutions within their communities, and then coming up with ideas, coming up with innovations and implementing them. I think that is really the most crucial point and the most crucial part in starting this journey.
I think from the example you gave, also having an intrinsic motivation versus an extrinsic motivation does make a major difference. I know within the startup ecosystem, market depending, you should also know what's the most challenging perspective from your customer. Instead of starting a business in an ivory tower, to put it that way, you need to really know the problem itself and the heart of the problem. I think as the example you've just given now, experiencing the problem as a at the pointy end of that pain point is a very good place to start. Yes. If you're part of the target market, I think as you've intimated. My final question, what are the biggest impediments to African innovators, market depending, I think as you noted, founding their own business in addition to funding? I think you've mentioned that already. And where do you believe organizations such as the International Siemens Foundation help to fill the gap? I'm going to be naughty and probably suggest also bringing in knowledge or international standards or knowledge perhaps. And I use the word international so very carefully. But where else do you think foundations such as this International Siemens Foundation help? What are they doing that A, we don't see, and bringing to the party that I guess local audiences or markets cannot access?
Again, I think here it's important to really see the kind of role that we are playing as a philanthropic institution, because we are not an investor, right? I mean, what we really try to achieve is working with social enterprises to promote changes for the local communities for a better outcome, for greater impact, whether it's in sectors like energy transition, e-mobility, safe water and hygiene. So for us, it's really the perspective of helping these missing middle social enterprises. So as I was saying earlier, not necessarily like helping them to scale in a sustainable long-term way, because there's other players who can do that. But for us, it's more coming in a period where it's so important for these social enterprises to survive, to get some additional funding in terms of grant funding provided from foundations such as our foundation. So I think this is one crucial point. And then secondly, of course, it's also research and development, because once they are experiencing perspectives on growth, perspectives on piloting in other areas, etc., they need to engage in research and development. And quite often, they do not have the funds to do that on their own. So here we come in together with partner institutions, and we help to invest also in various topics surrounding research and development. To just give you one example, as part of the project Smart Energy Solutions in Africa, the CESA project, we, for example, have a startup incubator program that really provides the support surrounding testing of local innovation, research and development, and really helps in this segment the local social enterprises that are part of this initiative.
I think nugget of knowledge that came through in your answer is that the International Siemens Foundation has a very clear understanding of where it can add value, what it seeks to achieve, and also the objectives that supports your work, which allows you to execute with clarity, which I think is very, very, very important. So thanks very much for sharing that. I am sad to say, Nina, that we have unfortunately run out of time. Thank you so much just for sharing your time with Insights. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, Adam. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
I think the pleasure is all mine. And if people want to find out more about the International Siemens Foundation, the work you do, where can you go, your website, your LinkedIn, where can they learn more about the foundation?
We have our website, so all the information is available on the website. We also have a LinkedIn account from Siemens Stiftung, Siemens International Foundation. So we'd be delighted if anyone who's interested to learn more about Siemens International Foundation gets in contact with us, and we're happy to send out more information, provide more information about our work and our great ecosystem of partners.
Well, you heard it here first. Please, if you believe this applies to you, learn more and please contact the foundation if you think applicable. And last thank you goes to you, all our listeners, for joining us today. Please let us know what your thoughts are on how you identify challenges that are worth solving in the places you call home. How are you innovating to make a difference where you are? Send your thoughts to hello@africanpreseed.com and also share with us on social media using the African Preseed Podcast hashtag. That's it for now. Catch you in the next one. Cheers, everyone.